Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. This is the only podcast that gives you a raw and unfiltered perspective of what it's really like to be a professional cheerleader. Whether you're currently on a pro team, an alumni, or really curious about what it takes to become a pro cheerleader, the Pro Cheerleading Podcast gives you all the inside scoop and hot topics in the pro cheerleading industry and in-depth interviews of current and former cheerleaders. I'm your host, Makiba. Join me every Wednesday as I reveal the truth behind the palms. You guys, today I'm very, very excited because we have the amazing Jasmine Lee on the freaking Pro Cheerleading Podcast. Finally, you guys. Yes. She has been a day one supporter of the podcast way back in 2018 and just an amazing friend. I mean, Jasmine, you've been incredible, just supportive and just watching your career over the past few years. I'm excited as hell to have you on the show to tell us your story. You guys, this episode is called Unappreciated, and it is a throwback R&B tune that I didn't know that I knew, but I do know that song, and you will too. Jasmine's going to give us a touch of, you know, background on just kind of why she picked that title, but I love when people have their own inspiration of the title for the episode. So anyway, I'm not going to keep yapping. Jasmine, we'll get into your illustrious career, but you have danced in the NBA for 5 years and just have a ton of experience, and you are the owner of Next Level Prep. I'm sure everybody's seen that everywhere, expanding all throughout the country. So I can't wait to get into everything. Welcome to the Pro Cheerleading Podcast, Jasmine.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited. I feel like we've both been like wanting this to happen for years. And yeah. I definitely, like, since 2018 have been like your secret third co-host. Yes.
Let's take everybody back, because I think it's just, since this is the last season of the podcast, I've just been super nostalgic. We both have a glass of rosé, but we're going to creep back to 2018. Jasmine, what made you reach out to the podcast? How did you find us? Like, tell us what your first impression was, because Brittany and I were just really baby stages. And when we found you or you found us, it was very like, somebody's listening. We were pumped. Tell us the backstory on that.
So I was just randomly on Twitter for just, maybe it was like the whole Redskin stuff that was happening or whatever in 2018, but I was just on Twitter and it was like a suggestion, the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. And it was before even episodes happened. It was just like, just the page, no tweets. And I was like, oh, what's this? And I was like, oh, what's this? And I think 2018 was also when we went co-ed, and again, there's just a lot of thoughts about that. So I was just like ready to open up to someone and just like help share like the NBA perspective, because you guys did do a lot of the NFL side. So just sharing like the NBA side of things. Cause I remember I was looking back at our DMs and you're like, the grass isn't always greener.
That is so true. I remember back then in 2018, especially, there were so many things popping off in the NFL, and then at some point, and it was just, I think, just being able to correspond with you, but I was just like, oh, the NBA must be so great because we don't hear anything about it. And then some Yahoo article came out saying that there were just a lot of similar issues on the NBA side. And just, it's just crazy how our worlds just collide through social media. So you saw us even before we were like officially tweeting stuff out. That is crazy.
Day one, fans.
Day one.
Yes.
Thanks to the power of suggested accounts. Well, right. I mean, it honestly touched us that somebody was listening, that the content was relevant, that we weren't just, I don't know. And then just helping us learn about the space, because, you know, it's so much better now on social media than it was before. But a lot of this was just word of mouth and the private DMs and kind of like the insider accounts, because a lot of people aren't able to talk freely.
And I wasn't allowed to talk. So that's why I was always DMing you guys, like telling you guys some things and sending you things low key.
Yes. Well, all of it was appreciated. It helped us with content and just validating that what we were perceiving was either real or not so real, and just kind of giving us the truth behind the palms. That's why the little tagline came in. But Jasmine, so I mean, you're going to get like ins and outs of our interactions too, because we finally got to meet in DC when we went to the Washington Redskins at the time, the First Ladies of Football audition.
That's showcase, when, yeah.
Yes, their audition showcase. That's when we officially met. But let's get into your background, Jasmine, because you know your stuff. I mean, you've been dancing since Lord knows when and trained with great studios. And so I would love to hear your background. It's all relevant because you are Miss, you know, entrepreneur extraordinaire, helping everybody else train and get those skills. So take us back to your training.
So I started dancing at the age of 3, started competitive competition dance at 9. Then I went to a performing arts high school for a few years. I did a lot of different summer intensives, like with the Dance Theater of Harlem, Joffrey Ballet. So I was very like the concert competition world. I didn't really know much about the dance team world, not until like college. So just working with different companies, different studios growing up. Then I went to college. I went to Towson University. I got my degree in dance education, dance performance, and choreography. So I'm using that today, especially with Next Level Prep. Yeah. I was on my college dance team for 3 years. We competed at UDA Nationals. And that's where I kind of started to like, what is this whole world of college dance and then high school dance and all this whole dance team world? And a little bit like after that, my family had season tickets for Wizards. So I'd always go to like the Wizards games and see the Wizard girls. And I fell in love with them. I still didn't know much about them, but just like the whole game, I wasn't even watching the game. I was just watching dancers on the sidelines.
Cause this is when they were on the court, right? Like they weren't just going back in the dressing room. They were out the whole game. Yeah. Yes.
But just like my eyes are glued. I would just like stalk everyone on social media. Like I learned literally everything and anything about everyone on the team, the organization. So that's where it kind of began. I never thought about pro dance until one of my college teammates was like, oh, I'm going to the Ravens audition. You should go. And I was like, what's that? So of course, I had like my college weight. I didn't know anything about pro dance. So I went to a prep class. I learned as much as I could about the organization. I was like, okay, they like a side part. I'm going to wear my hair in a side part. They like loose curls. I'm going to wear my hair in loose curls. They like a burgundy lip. I'm going to wear a burgundy lip. So I did everything I learned in a prep class. And then the rest is history.
Yeah, let's digest. So, you know, having all of that background and training is, like you said, definitely in play today. And then you were turned on to kind of the pro dance world. There's so much to learn, as you mentioned, like with the prep classes were at least some sort of a guide. We did not have prep classes like that other than what the team would put out when I was auditioning. But did you set your sights on NBA first or did you go on the NFL side and try that out? How did you find your groove of what team was the best fit for you?
I think at the time I was just going with like, this is the DC area. We have Baltimore, we have the Redskins and we have the Wizards. So it's kind of like, those are like the three options within the area. Yes, we have Baltimore Blast, but at the time when I was in college, I was like, I'd rather dance for free for my college dance team than dance for free for that team. So I stuck with my college dance team. And of course, the Blast have been great and great connections then. But at the time, I just wanted to finish my college career as a dancer because that you'll never get that back. So, sure. And then just going to the Wizards games, I kind of had more of a connection of just like, I've seen them physically in person, but in the NFL, I've never really been to an NFL game. So I was just like going to go to that audition. So I had more of a connection with the NBA auditioning.
And just for perspective, because, you know, I don't want to give any years because that's not what it's about. I want to make anybody feel old like I do. But what was your perspective of watching them at games? Like, was there a big difference in the NBA dance experience, what you were experiencing as a fan than what you see today as a performer in the NBA? Was there a big difference in the entertainment style?
I feel like there's just more glamorous back then, especially just seeing them. It just felt, and they used to also do like the autograph signing back then. So it's just like, everything was just like, not like celebrity, but it was just more of like it was a big deal. And now it's like, we're not as accessible to the fans. We're not as glamorous. We're not as recognized by the fans. So I feel like things have declined in a way.
That's interesting perspective, because especially thinking back when they used to be on the court, I mean, the fans get to see you all game. And if they zone out, they get to at least kind of watch you interact. It was very different. You were still untouchable, but you were accessible in a different sense. And that glamour that you speak of is something that I definitely think is changing. What was your first pro sports experience in terms of being on a team?
So audition wise, or just like actually making the team?
Whichever one you want to talk us through. I was really touched, and I don't know why I couldn't find the post. And you were kind of walking through the journey of like the no's all the way to the yeses. And I thought it was just really inspiring for people to see like what perseverance really looks like, because there's different journeys, and you're obviously with Next Level Prep helping people hopefully get to their yes sooner or what have you. But I just was either jumping into like the first team that you made, or kind of like whatever you'd like to share of your journey of making a team.
I think originally I really liked NBA because of like college dance team. We did both outside football and indoors for basketball. And I feel like I like the inside of basketball better than the outside of like the football. And then the speakers, I'm like, I'm hearing one thing and she's hearing one thing next to me, and we're all not dancing to the same thing. Cause I was like, why would I want to do that? So, but I did. I auditioned for the Ravens first. I made it to the first round, got cut. Of course, they offer it to a lot of people of like doing their Playmakers, which is their ambassador team, but I wanted to dance, so I said no. Then I knew I wanted to audition for Wizards next, but I knew I blacked out at auditions and I needed more experience. So I drove to New York and I went to the New York Knicks audition. Again, it was another experience. Their process is totally different than what I've experienced with the Ravens, because like they didn't want your headshot the first round or resume. They just wanted to see you. Then you made it to the next round, and then we did another dance, and then I got cut. And then so at that point, I never gave them any like physical paper or like a headshot or anything. So just that process was a learning experience. Then I auditioned for Wizards. Made it all the way to finals. And then of course, you know how like there's the Twitter voting back then, and like you telling everyone about it and you're super excited. And then I didn't make the team and I was just like heartbroken. Next day I had to go to work. I was crying. I worked at a summer camp and I was just telling the kids, I'm sick. I'm okay. But it's just like heartbreaking, because like you told all these people like, I'm going through this process. I made it all the way to the end. I'm probably, you know, hopefully going to make the team. And then you don't, like an embarrassing feeling. So like having to pick yourself up after that, something that I've been through, and I kind of helped guide people through.
Because I think like with these darn voting processes that are part of the auditions, I think I've expressed my opinion about that. Like I'm not a fan, but it forces you to tell your supporters or people that you know where you might like, I'm a little bit of an incognito person. Like if I'm going to do it, I might just kind of do it where the closest people to me know, but I'm not broadcasting it on social media and totally, totally putting yourself out there. But because of the voting, you're having to do exactly that. And it makes your mourning process or whatever you want to call it, if things don't work out, so much more like difficult. I mean, there shouldn't be any shame associated with it, but you have to deal with it with this face on. Like it's not ideal. It's totally not ideal. How did you pick yourself back up? I know a lot of people are kind of experiencing NFL auditions are wrapping and NBA auditions are picking up. There's going to be a lot of people dealing with the ups and downs of dealing with the no's. How did you deal with it those first couple of times?
Of course, like you're in denial. And of course, like coming from like a college team, a lot of young people, they think, okay, I can just walk on into an NFL or NBA team. So you're in denial that you don't understand like what happened. You try to reach out for feedback. I did get feedback from Wizards that year, which was able to help lead me into what I was going to do next. So I feel like if I didn't get feedback, I kind of would have been more lost. And some people aren't able to get that feedback. But just kind of like reevaluating yourself, saying, okay, so this is what I did this year. Maybe it was my fitness. Maybe it was my hair. Maybe they took someone that looked just like me. And now I have to look at, okay, this is the team they took and this is me. And maybe I do look like her. And that's probably why there wasn't a spot for me. So just looking at all the factors and kind of moving on from there. Yeah.
Yes. Cause you have to move on. You can't stay stuck in the, you know, over-evaluate department, but it is good to do some self-assessment of like, okay, did I bring my best self or where can I improve and all of those things. But it's great that you were able to get some feedback. It is not easy to get feedback. And I know people have even written in wanting to kind of talk through how to approach asking for feedback. And there really is no secret sauce to it. They're either going to give it to you because they have capacity to answer questions like that, or they kind of maybe trying to go to some of the prep. I'm just throwing this in there now that I thought about it, but like going to the team prep classes and staying after for some Q&A, maybe you can make an impression and say, hey, I did audition and made it to blah, blah, blah round last time. It would be great if I could get any feedback. And if you show up to all of their prep classes, maybe there'll be a time where they can share it, but it's really hard to get that feedback. It's brave to even ask for it.
I remember when I auditioned for Ravens and I did go to the prep classes because there was like some time in between. I like literally lifted up my shirt. I said, okay, is my body where it needs to be for the team? And they said, nope, you still need to do some work. And I was like, okay, I'm going to keep doing some work. So like you do have to kind of be transparent with yourself and like really just be bold sometimes to get that feedback and not be scared to ask those questions.
For sure. And I don't want to like weave all over the place. I know I do that a lot with episodes, but I'm dying to hear how you handle that with Next Level Prep as you help people prepare for auditions. So we'll put a pin in it and hopefully I won't forget to ask for it. I've been sipping away. I have noticed that you have not. So you go ahead and indulge. Yep.
I do have my feedback that I got for Wizards pulled up, if you want me to read that.
Oh, yeah. Can we? Oh, look at Jasmine.
See, I'm prepared. I'm ready. I got tabs open on my computer.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I couldn't even start my damn episode properly. So yes, Jasmine, please take us through the feedback that you got. That's amazing.
So they just said, just continue to work on your fitness and overall polish as a professional cheerleader. Your dance technique and training is definitely where it needs to be. Work on dancing really big and strong with more energy. You're great and your technique really shines through. Just hit those motions strong and clean. So yeah, that was the feedback that I had got that year.
That's actually a lot of feedback too. Specific enough where you feel like it's not like a generic, this is what I say to everybody, but that means you stood out. And I love that they took the time to share that much. I mean, I was actually expecting
like a little sentence.
You know, 2 to 3 lines. You did great. It's tough. You know, there's hard, it's a numbers game, blah, 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 but it's very specific to you and you can work with that. You know what I mean?
Like, and I did work with that. I took that and then I did the Redskins at the time, their training program. The First Ladies of Football had like a training program during like the fall, winter. So I did that. And that's kind of where like I had got the idea to audition for them. And they were like, you should audition for us. And I was like, okay. Because I never saw myself as like a First Lady of Football. Like, of course, like they were glamorous and like the it team to be. But I just never saw myself or like considered myself auditioning. And when the choreographer was like, you should think about auditioning. And I was like, I'm gonna really think about auditioning. So that was my next audition after Wizards was I did the training program for Redskins and then I auditioned, made it to finals. And then I didn't make it. So.
And that showcase, as we met there, you know, just talking us through kind of like the behind the scenes of what that whole experience is like, because, you know, the training programs that lead into your like final audition showcase, I recognize that there's a lot of work involved to kind of put that show together. But Jasmine was giving us the inside scoop on like, the amount of practice and time and just and the DMV area. I don't know how anybody gets around anywhere on time in general, just with traffic and whatnot. But that was awesome just to kind of hear how much work went into that, what a sacrifice it is. And just, and you know, we get it. There's politics and everything, but just kind of like what that entails. And I'll just leave it at that. But I think it's a very elaborate process. So obviously going through that program, I'm sure definitely just helped generally speaking, which is training and preparation. I want to hear how you arrived at your Wizards audition where you were like, all right, I'm trained. I took into account what you wanted. Here I am. Talk us through that audition.
So So yes, I did the Redskins and make it. Then I did the arena football team in Baltimore, and that kind of helped me with that polishing even more and like dancing strong.
Oh, okay.
The Baltimore Brigade was the team at the time, and it no longer exists. It was just like a one season, and then they got rid of it the next season. But that team really helped me. Like, I had to do my hair every game day. I had to do my makeup every game day. And like, I had to figure out like the tights and like the leave out, because I didn't wear wigs and things at the time. So like, having to deal with like just trying to look polished a full game and all of that. So that really helped me. So when I did go to Wizards that next year, of course, I had went through the process, so I knew how the process ran. So I kind of kept working on those things. And I came back with the energy of like, I'm going to make this team. You're going to put me on it this year. You're not going to tell me no. There's no reason to tell me no this year. Just like that confidence that I really didn't have before. And like, I wouldn't have had the friends and the sisterhood that I had on the team if I would have made it that year before. And like, everything happens for a reason. I wouldn't have been, you know, in Atlanta now if I, or something. It was just like everything happens for a reason, and I'm appreciative of the no's that I got, because I wouldn't be where I am today.
It's so true. And I mean, and it's hard to have that perspective when you're in the midst of digesting the no. It just feels like crap, and it's hard to think of your future and still feeling strongly like this is still going to happen for me, and it's all happening for a reason, and this is just part of my journey, and I'm embracing it. You just, it takes a minute to get there, but it's so true though. Like, every step that you take, it's just kind of paving your way of where you're ultimately supposed to be.
I went into that audition like tunnel vision. Like, I didn't know who was there. I just knew when we made the team, I was like, oh, you're there. I was like, okay. But like, I did not see, of course I'm friendly. Of course, you know, I was speaking to everyone and like helping out where I could, but I didn't know who my rookie sisters were, for real. I was like, oh.
Yes. Well, shoot, you could be dancing right next to the person. I know I zone out. It wasn't until I would watch back the finals performance where I really like fully clocked like who I was dancing next to for the finals. But no, I mean, sometimes it takes that. Like, you just got to lock in and worry about yourself and just all of the things you learn, and you really want to just bring all of that. So you do have to channel and focus that energy. So had to be amazing. So was your first season with the Wizards the year they went co-ed, or it was like the following year? You had a Wizards girl year, and then you had a...
Yeah, I had a Wizard girl year, and then I had a Wizard dancer year.
Okay, yes. So I feel like we've talked so much behind the scenes, so I'm like, okay. But I can appreciate the difference between Wizards girls and Wizards dancers. We had Derek on the show, and he kind of talked us through that transition as well as how he tried to approach it as a director and making it close enough to the Wizards girl experience, but also trying to take into account some of the direction that he was receiving from his management and leadership. So from the dancer's perspective, how did you embrace the change? I know you're part of a co-ed team now as well, so whatever you'd like to share about just, you know, the shift that's happened in the NBA space as well as NFL.
I feel like, because of course directors and people above know what's happening months ahead of time, but they didn't tell us until July. So that kind of left us with like no choice but to come back, because everyone else already had auditions. Because I always just wanted to be on an all-female team, a sisterhood. That's just like what you grow up seeing. And of course, now it's different. Now we are welcoming of the brotherhood and having guys. But at first, it's just a shock of like everything that I've researched and like dreamed of is now like coming to an end. And I've never kind of thought of like what it would be like to be on a co-ed team. And that's kind of another reason why I had left, because I did just still wanted to be on an all-female team. Just because like the dynamics of like 11 guys showed up to auditions, you took 10 because you had to meet that quota of like what marketing wanted. You didn't really take in consideration like their background and things like that. Things that the girls would have done, we would have been fired. But if the guys did it, it's okay because they're learning and they're new. But it's like, we're just standing there like, you're really gonna let them say that? But okay.
Okay. Like, well, That came up a lot in one of my little cheer chats too. I think it was kind of like the first one where I ended up showing up a week early because people were really pointing out some just aspects of the dynamics that really weren't fair. And just kind of like the lots and lots and lots of grace that was extended for those first couple years of being co-ed. But, you know, knowing that the amount of research that we put into making these teams and trying to get a sense for what the expectations are, what's required of you, showing up polished, professional, you know, like
all, so, of, yeah.
all of the things. And then, you know, for guys that might be newer to the space, just to come in and, you know, and be given this long, long, long rope of a learning curve to kind of adjust of all of the expectations that are of you, not just that you're a cool dancer or a good talented dancer, but, you know, all the other things that as a rookie, you really don't have a lot of leeway to just be making a ton of growing curve type mistakes. It's just really, really interesting to hear people speaking out about that dynamic.
The title of our episode, like, it is like we felt kind of like everything in the past was unappreciated and like everything kind of got erased, especially for like teams like the Spurs, they got erased. The Sacramento Kings, they had got erased. The Mavericks, their team, like, it's just like we felt the time like we were being unappreciated as like the history and like the things that came before was just getting rid of, like, because the whole everything wanted to be family friendly, but they could have made that transition smoother.
A lot smoother. And definitely this ties into like a lot of our communication as this stuff was going on, because it was just like a domino effect of team after team after team. And I do appreciate your title more and more as I'm just thinking about it. I mean, because I can imagine if you were on a team that went co-ed and what the expectation was of the women to kind of still do everything that they could to maintain that level of professionalism and like that image, be understanding of this, be understanding of that, help your new male teammates out with X, Y, and Z, and really relying heavily on the women to kind of maintain that standard, I would say, even though that standard wasn't maybe equally applied to everyone at times. So I'm not saying that's your experience, Jasmine. I'm just saying like that sounds like a lot of what people have gone through, and just in thinking back of all the little private DMs. And then, you know, not to go full circle, but like I just saw, or somebody sent me, the fact that the Sacramento Kings are now doing 916 crew.
A lot of teams are going backwards, and just like y'all should have took the time to think about it and maybe have like a discussion first, not just like throw everything in fire and just like, let's get rid of this, and like, let's change this, make it a crew. But like, now you understand, like, we have to be as versatile, and that's what the girls were. The break dancers can only break dance and that's it. But like us as dancers and like growing up studio trained, or if you're just learning as an adult now, you have like a variety of styles that you can do. Yes, it's cool to see people flip and tumble and spin, but like that's, you know, we offer more. We did, like, as the all-female teams, or like the now co-ed, like teams that are versatile and still bringing that on the court. But
yeah, well, welcome back 916 crew and the Sacramento Kings dancers. It would be amazing if there was some level of like, you know, aha moment. Do share with us, Sacramento Kings organization, of like, oh, well, we experienced it, we thought about it, this is what we didn't appreciate before, and now we do, and we're, I mean, just something instead of just like, we've decided, you know, what's the little interesting, unappreciated. I just think from, you know, looking at these past few years, I definitely can understand how some of the women who were part of these early years of teams moving in the co-ed direction, feeling a little unappreciated. Okay, so you had the 2 years. When you made the move to Atlanta, I think you mentioned you were looking for an all-female experience a little bit, but what drew you to the Atlanta area? Like, how did that come about?
So, of course, I also told you this, like, secretly, of just, like, we weren't allowed to do extra gigs when I was on Wizards, and we weren't allowed to do shows of artists or things that, you know, a lot of the big areas, like LA and New York and Atlanta at the time, the dancers were allowed to work outside of being on a team. And that's what kind of attracted me to Atlanta. And I was like, oh, I can still be on the team and I could possibly work on this music video. Or someone had went on tour and then they came back. And I was like, that's just a cool opportunity to still live out your NBA dream and then still get jobs as you're growing in your professional industry work. And that's what kind of drew me to the Atlanta area. But once I got here, things kind of changed because I started my own business. And then I had no time for like the extra things that I originally wanted to do. So, yeah.
Okay. So then that just throws me right into what I've been dying to talk about. And I'm sure everybody's also super excited to hear about. What made the shift to starting your own business with Next Level Prep? And you were really quiet about it. I just remember like, whoa, wait, what is this? What was your vision? When did this come to you, especially taking it on while you're on a team, which I think is even more impressive and also challenging? Kind of give us the origin story there for Next Level Prep.
So the beginning, I was originally just helping out like my friends when I was on Wizards and my teammates, like helping them like get their technique together for the upcoming auditions, helping friends prepare a lot of just like private lessons. And then my coach was like, I really appreciate you helping out blank because her technique really grew and I knew you helped her out with that. And he like thanked me for that. And I'm like, oh, you're welcome. And then I had worked with some other like training programs. And then I went to Atlanta, met up with a training program. And she told me, I don't like working with people who are currently on team. So unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to work with you. And I was like, well, I'm the person that has like the current knowledge of what's going on the team. So why wouldn't you want to work with me? But okay. Yeah. So I took that no and just taking my nose and I blew up from there. And I was like, well, I'm just going to do my own thing and you're going to regret it later. And yeah.
And boom.
And boom.
So did you start off, Jasmine, just in person? I mean, I know at some point we had the pandemic up in there. How did you deal with that as a business owner? And just talk about the growth of your programs and the expansion. I mean, there's just so many things happening on the Next Level Prep side. And each time I see you connecting with someone of like, you know, different choreographers, I'm just like screaming inside because there's just so many victories and wins here that I should just list them all. But I mean, just talk us through like how you went about building it and what your approach has been, because this is an interesting space of audition prep land where people have their different mm-hmm. approaches to this, and you know, and there are a lot of options out there. Like, what did you decide that was going to be the differentiator for you, and how have you taken that vision forward with expanding to different areas? You gotta give us more, girl.
I know. I feel like every single program that I have done, they have all been different. They're all like different learning experiences for myself and like for them. It's just like, of course, everything's not going to be the same. If it was the same, no one would come back and return and do the program again. So we started in person in February and then the pandemic happened. But that program was only like a 6-week program. So it was like we had either finished or it was like the last week and then like the world shut down. So trying to figure out, okay, now we're in the house. What are we going to do? So I sat back for a second and let like other people kind of do their own thing. And then I started doing like IG live classes and I was like, maybe I should do a virtual program and just have like people from all over train and kind of open up that door. So we did a virtual program that summer. And that kind of was like, oh, I can train people in different states and different areas. It doesn't have to be just like the Atlanta area at the time. And then they're able to learn from people from New York or from California or from Texas. They're able to access people from different parts of the world and different pro training levels. So the pandemic really helped me personally grow and the business grow. Because it opened my eyes to just more possibilities instead of just like thinking Atlanta, I'm going to help this Atlanta area because the Atlanta area needed some help. Because like when I auditioned, like, of course, like coming from DC, it's the glitz, it's the glam. We are stoned out. We have a different outfit for every single day of the week. And then coming to Atlanta, I was like, y'all look basic. And I was like, what's going on? So just kind of like helping the Atlanta area and just like when different choreographers come in, they see the growth of the Atlanta area just in general. And I love seeing that as a dance community here. I'm like fast forwarding and like all over, but like when me and Shabri go on tour, they're like, come back. We really want this here. We don't have any of this type of training. And I'm like, well, I have to deal with the NBA basketball schedule. I can't just like leave and come see you every day. No. So,
and you see that in the comments for sure. I was so excited about that tour, but it's so true. Even in the Seattle area, there's like a lack of pro focused audition prep beyond just the team, the one team that we have in the area. So I could see people just, the demand is there, like, hey, come back, come back. And like you said, I don't know how you manage this while you were on an NBA team. Just the NBA game schedule enough is like 40 plus games. Not that you're at every single game necessarily, yeah, but a lot to juggle. And it's great that you were able to experience that kind of growth during the pandemic. I mean, we weren't even sure who the heck would be able to cheer for part of the, you get through 2020 and then you're like, I think I should continue dancing. And yeah, I'm taking IG live dance classes or whatever, but I don't even know what I'm preparing for because the information is so limited. But for you to be able to keep it up and just keep building, and different parts of the country were able to open earlier than others. So it's just great that you were able to kind of ride that wave and have it kind of work out for you and to be able to expand in that way.
And then with Next Level Prep, it's just like, I know I was fortunate to grow up inside of a dance studio, but a lot of adults are starting as adults, and like just helping them gain that technique, gain that terminology, teach them about interview prep and about the pro world. It's just like a lot of people don't know. Like I didn't know like about the college dancing world when I was in college, but I like did my research and like I learned about it, went through it, had to do my research for the pro world. So now I'm sharing everything that I've learned through all of those experiences. Cause like growing up, I did have the access to different technique classes and all of that. But now I'm sharing everything that I learned and helping adults kind of catch up to the people that have had that studio training their whole life. So.
And that I want to pause for 5 seconds just to say is what I mean, I haven't been in a Next Level Prep class per se, but I mean, as an adult, and there's so many people who write into the podcast, like, is it too late? I'm this age. I do not have studio training. Technique is like the big buzzword and the freak out word for everybody, because if you did not have the means, access, whatever your story is for not being trained in the studio, it can be overwhelming to think as an adult preparing for a pro audition of like, how do you play catch up? Like, how do you start from ground zero and, you know, get these leaps and get these pirouettes and all these other tricks that everybody's throwing in too, on top of it, which is another, I would say, more advanced level. But like, I'm really appreciative, I guess, of just the opportunity for training, because I think even in Seattle, back in the extra day, gosh, when Brittany and I were also, because we didn't have like the technique, we were like, okay, well, we're big girls. We'll just, you know, we'll find some adult dance studios and we'll go pick up some technique. But what you're doing in those classes is like, they'll do it across the floor. They're not teaching you anything. They're just like, do this.
Okay, you got it. Next.
And then you might learn a combo at the end, but did I learn anything? Probably not. I realized I could benefit more from privates, but the fact that you found a way to teach, not just video, some cute choreography and whatnot, but actually teach your students is so that they're able to build upon those skills without feeling discouraged and defeated in the process, Jasmine, is just a big win for people. I mean, I'm just saying that because you don't really feel that comfort level to even show that vulnerability of like, I am at, you know, square one here and I have this huge dream of dancing professionally. Like, how do I get there and create some building blocks where people feel like they are steadily improving is really, it's just commendable. So thank you for that.
I feel like it's never too late for anything, because, you know, I'm still getting up there, but I'm not done, even though I'm done, but I'm not done.
Gosh, it is not too late. I think it's just finding the right program and training that will take you where you are and really help you elevate. And that's really get to that next level, which is, I don't know how you picked your name, but it makes a lot of sense. Just based
there was a lot of different, like, I have them still, like all the names that I went through.
Really? It's so hard.
They were a hot mess. But I don't know how I came to Next Level Prep, but like, let me see if I can find it. There were some ones that I was like, what? It's like another problem, not a problem, but like I come across like people who want to copy what I'm doing or like doing the same thing, but I'm not, no, like it's a space for other people to continue to come and like start their own thing. But when it comes to like a point where I can't even talk to you because I know you're going to walk away with everything that I just told you and start your own thing. That's when I'm kind of like, I don't know if I want to, you know, share all of this information with everyone. So that kind of puts you in a place where like, who can I talk to? But of course, there's going to be a bunch of training programs and coaches. Like, I'm not afraid of that, but I'm just like, if you take everything I literally just told you and run away with it, like that's kind of messed up.
Can we talk about that? See, now I'm like picking all up on the name of the show. Unappreciated. Okay. So, I mean, there's room for everyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's kind of variations of my attitude on this. I'm being a big girl now. I know I've had my moments where like, what is going on? Like, not that there has to be one source for everything, but I know when you take on something and you put so much passion into like how you've envisioned it and really working hard on the content, and I'm just relating to you just as a podcast owner, but there are times where you're kind of like, okay, there's a lot of things popping up that seem to be covering the same thing I was doing, but okay. I mean, and you have to kind of like reel yourself back in, and like, for me at least, I'll just speak for myself, of just like you mentioned, like knowing who you can trust with sharing certain business ideas, who you reached out to or who you let use you. As I've watched certain auditions programs grow, it seems like, you know, you do have this dynamic where you need to take in people who will be guest teachers as part of your program. And so like figuring out the right piece of the pie to share to grow your business without it being like a room for someone taking off and running and like, well, I'm teaching. Like, you know, there's just so much room for ego is what I'm saying. And I've noticed even just in my space where I'm like, okay, somebody felt the need to start something new. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to be mad about it, but it's
not
also.
Everyone can handle what goes into a prep business because it's like, are you going to help them through that rejection? Are you going to help them through that virtual submission process? Are you going to help them with all the 50 million questions they have? Are you going to help them when they text you at 12 in the morning? And then I've seen a lot of them drop and I've seen a lot of them come up. So it's just like, you can only do what you can offer. And that's the same thing with auditions. Like, you can only do what you can do and bring that to the table. And if they want it, they want it. And if they don't, there's another team or there, you know, there's different options.
Yeah. And that's the right space to come back to because you can't please everybody. You have to protect your business. You have to, you know, worry about yourself is what I keep telling myself too, because, you know, there's a lot of work, like you said, that goes into things and keeping and sustaining. And, you know, here I am almost 100 official episodes later. And it's just like, it takes a lot to keep this shit up. I'm just going to say it like, and, you know, I wish everybody the best at going after their dreams. I just think those initial steps that people take and how they establish themselves, you should think about like how you're presenting yourself and showing yourself in that way. You know, you want to be ethical in your practices. You want to be respectful of people who pave certain ways before you. And I'm just throwing that in there because I think it just ties into your title a little bit. Yeah. People see the success of entrepreneurs or people who've started something. And I think sometimes they want to ride the wave without really doing the work of planting those seeds and cultivating the earth and making the shit grow. They just want to hop on and then take it from there and ride off into the sunset. Yeah. That's not how it goes. So tell us, like, here's the infomercial time for Next Level Prep. Tell me what your business offers to everybody, the cities that you're in, like, give me the whole little infomercial spiel.
So Next Level Prep is an educational training service that offers prep classes virtually, in person, different one-on-one services. And we're also touring now and coming to different cities, partnering with Sassy Hip Hop with Shapri. So we have a lot under our umbrella. And then we're also in the DMV area. We're in Atlanta. We are in Charlotte. We're in Colorado and coming to a city near you.
Exactly. I was like, who is next? Every time I would see like a new account on Instagram, I'm like, she's doing it again. I mean, the sky's the limit, but do you have any announcements that you need to make of things that might be in motion, or we have to wait?
There's always something in motion. There's always something I'm working on my to-do list. But currently we're prepping for another tour. Which will be like another East Coast, West Coast tour. And then I'm planning on going to Pro Action with Next Level Prep this summer.
Fabulous. Yes.
So I'm planning on doing that. And I'm planning on bringing four girls to train at ProAction just to get that experience. A lot of the time, like, teams only take their captains, or if you do make a team, they might not ever go to ProAction. So I do want people to experience that and kind of like have that big training, kind of learn more about that world.
Yeah. That's awesome. So you would be kind of like sending people from your programs to be able to train in that way. Mm-hmm. That would be fabulous. I'm planning to go. I'm just, you know, trying to get on my little ducks in a row, but that would be fabulous. I want to get into, you know, your retirement and just kind of how you reached that decision, because I personally, having got to see you perform in Atlanta, and I never want to stop being able to see you dance, seeing you at ProAction, killing it, seeing you at games in Atlanta. Like, I'm going to miss you performing, Jasmine. So I just need you to help me understand. I understand, but talk to me about how you reached your decision of retiring from the NBA.
So I knew, because like COVID happened, and then like the whole, we were on a platform, so we weren't on a court that whole season.
Oh yeah, so that season.
I knew I wanted like a on-court season for like my last season, and I just knew like this is gonna be my last year. Just like it comes to the unappreciated title of how I was telling you, you feel so appreciated with your my business and like outside of like different choreographers in this industry, and just like people in general are very appreciative of like what I have to offer, but like on a team, I just feel like I'm just another number. I'm just not trusted as a team member. Just like she has to trust you to put you in certain spots on the court. But I'm like, I've been on another team before. I know how this works. But it's just like, if you notice, rookies are in the back for everything. And then again, rookies aren't even on Instagram or being highlighted and things like that. And then as, of course, COVID year, we were in smaller groups, so we had no other choice but to kind of put me in the front, because it was like a group of five or four. But right. If that didn't happen, where would I have been, like on the court or like on the team? It's just like that seniority lifestyle is just not what I liked, and like I didn't really enjoy. You have to be a fifth year or fourth year, and then this got to a point where like I was in the middle of that. Like, we had our rookie vets were like the rookies that were on a team during COVID, and then we have like our rookies, but then it's like I'm in the middle of like, I'm not a vet, but I'm a vet, but I'm, you know, so it's just like a weird spot of like, I never got to do intros for like the game until this third year on a team, not even like the first game, not even the second game, maybe the fourth game I finally got to do intros. But it's like, I've been on a whole nother team, and I'm just like sitting here in a tunnel. Some one time I was by myself in the tunnel, just like watching everybody run off and do intros. I'm like, it's just so weird, just like different team dynamics and how teams run it. And I was just like, it's my
That's an interesting dynamic. I know Brittany and I tried to cover kind of like, maybe it was rookie year. There's too many damn episodes now, I'm forgetting. But I mean, to your point, depending on the way the teams are run, from like that leadership or the team squad leadership dynamic of who they can trust with running point in a pyramid and leading out the tunnels, or, you know, like we know that there are certain things that may be director driven of like how they envision their leadership on the squad. And you know, whoever they pick as squad leaders, you get it. Like, that's either their favorites or maybe who they recognize as true leaders within the team. But after that set, when you really think about like those other dynamics that come into play of like how people are chosen or recognized, you know, each team is different, but it gets to a point, damn, with the seniority being like beaten to the ground, like where is this even making sense? Because what's the difference? I mean, there are differences, yes, between like a super seasoned vet and like a year two vet, but you're a vet. And with a team as small, especially for NBA, you have like 16 or so-ish people, 16 to 20-ish people. You should be able to trust every single freaking one of them that you've selected.
Yeah, like you put me on a team, so let me, okay, yes, I understand. I still need to learn, like rookie year, you have to learn everything, the team dynamics and everything. But like after a certain point, especially like for Wizards, as long as you could dance and as long as this was your style and you look good doing it, you could go wherever on the court, and he trusted us wherever. And there was even like just a game where he put all of the rookies in the front just to kind of see them shine and kind of see what they could do. It's just like, take that chance on people that are on the team because they're on the team for a reason. Don't just like, it got to a point for like Hawks where I was just like, they're setting formations for like hot timeouts. I'm like, I know I'm going to be in the back because I'm a rookie. So I'm just going to walk to the back. I'm just going to stand here before you even place me because I know I'm going to be back here. And if it wasn't for my red hair and my mom wouldn't know where I was in the formation. <That's
right. laughs> I remember feeling like that. Damn. I mean, it's like a little throwback, but just, it was almost like the eye roll. Like, I mean, sometimes formations were set based on squad lines. So like, you know, the shorter squads in the first two rows of a formation, the taller people in the back. Okay. Sometimes they'd flip it and they would make the shorties be in the back because the tall people were always in the back. That made sense. And then for the other ones where you knew it wasn't based on the squad formations, you just were like, I already know who you're going to be putting in the, you know, in the pyramid. So just move into the back, like you said. And it's just something where you're like, it's sad that you almost just get programmed to be overlooked for certain things in that way where you just, it's kind of like the eye roll, like, let me just move to the back because I know my name's going to be called for one of these spots back here. Yeah. It makes it harder to kind of keep that motivation to prove yourself over and over again when you know you're going to be overlooked. After a while, not that you're not going to dance as hard because you're in the back, but it's just like, I'm not even dancing to try to show you that I deserve to be up front anymore because it's just for what? And it's not even like being in front and center is everything, but it's just like you said, it's this feeling of being like you haven't even been given a shot to prove your worth. The fact that they don't necessarily understand your work despite picking you for the team is problematic as well. And it just leads to that feeling of being like, what am I doing this for? Yeah, that's hard.
So once I like have that like wake up call and realization of like, oh, I'm always back here. Like, what's going on? So after I had that realization and that kind of conversation at the end of the year, like, you don't trust us. You don't, you know, and she's like, I understand. Like, I do have trust issues and I do have like certain few that I do like seeing in the front. I don't like showcasing like the rookies on Instagram and things like that. They're just like, and then of course, like I didn't want to do another year because nothing's going to change because a lot of the same vets above me are still coming back. So why would I want to still be in the same spot that I am currently any place for growth? So
yeah. And that's real for any job, right, Jasmine? I mean, like, if you find that you're in a position where your contributions aren't appreciated and you're constantly overlooked for promotions or other opportunities to do something different, to showcase something different, it gets old and you do have to ask yourself, like, how long am I going to stay here in this situation where I don't feel appreciated or valued and where there's no opportunities for growth? It won't make sense. I mean, you're better off, you know, either auditioning for another team or just finding a better fit. And I'm not one to stay somewhere where I'm not appreciated too long. I mean, you will appreciate me when I'm gone, but I think that's a really interesting dynamic of the lack of trust because rookies, they have to be tested through so many different situations that it's almost impossible to cover during an orientation where you can be like, okay, you've been trained on from A to Z. And I know that you can be trusted to handle any situation that's thrown at you. There's going to be so many audibles called throughout your season as a rookie where you may screw up. But as a vet, I don't know, that just sounds like an excuse that's not really going to hold over time. You know, I mean, directors have to grow too. I think at the end of the day, you know, your mindset has to expand. You get to know your teams that you selected so that you can move past whatever roadblocks are in the way of running things the same way without even questioning the why behind it. I can definitely, you know, understand the reason to question whether it makes sense to kind of continue on. So you are very, very active as well with the Hawks organization. So I'm also struggling, I think, with the proof point here because you were doing social media. You were.
Yes, I did the social media.
Yes, what are you doing?
I worked in the office part time. Like whenever the receptionist like used her PTO or like needed time off, I would work inside the front office. So I did a lot. Like every organization is different. Some places feel appreciated. Some places feel like family and some places don't, even though they might think you're a family, but there's like, we're just coworkers at the end of the day. But on Wizards, I just felt it was more of a family. And here, I just feel like we're here to do our job and make sure this dance looks clean.
Yeah. Well, I can relate. And all I can say is, you know, it is a little disappointing. There's better ways to approach leading the organization that I hope will get somehow taken into consideration at some point. I just think that experience for the dancers is just unnecessary. You're not even really challenging your vets either. You're doing a disservice to them just as much as you are. I'm talking about like the super, super seasoned vets, I guess. Yes. Because it's easy to like not be on top of your game all the way when you know that you kind of have this automatic nod of like, you know, you're going to get your opportunities regardless. There's so many people that can relate to these dynamics. I'm telling you, I see the DMs that come in, the private messages where people are just like not feeling seen or heard or appreciated on their team. And I think I brought it up when I went to Pro Bowl too, where it's like, sometimes you just can kind of sense that feeling where people may have been like, why wasn't I picked? Like, I probably have done so much behind the scenes and, you know, or I'm always that person that you can rely on, but I don't even have like that leadership title or that backing to support it. But, you know, it's just, it's not fair. And it does
take like, space. I've always like been like the cookie cutter, do the right thing, never an issue. So it's just like, what's the problem, you know?
So. It's not even about a personal attack. I think it's a leadership style question, not so much the person, the leadership style. But
that's what like, makes you feel like you question yourself as a dancer. You're just like, what am I not doing? And I'm like, I know personally, I'm not a kiss ass. I'm not going to be at your butt 24/7. Like there are people that, you know, are up coach's butt and then they become a favorite or something like that. But that's just not like the type of person I am. I'm not going to be all up on you just to get a spot in the front. I'm just gonna show you through my dancing, and if that's not enough, then you know, I'm gonna dance for myself with Next Level Prep.
But do you have a theory in terms of, I mean, I think I spoke on my theory when I was live the other day, but do you have a theory as to like where that comes from for coaches or directors, or even like words of wisdom to pass on for them to broaden their perspective? Like, what do you think is at the root of them leading from that place?
I think maybe comfortability, and that's probably why a lot of the vets stay for so long, and that the directors want them to stay for so long too. Just like knowing like I can depend on that person or these two people for everything. But if you don't give the other people a chance, you'll never know how far they can go or what they can reach. And like what they can bring, and if you pull that out of them and they can be what you actually want them to be, it's very complicated.
It is. And I'm only trying to pull that out because I don't know who listens and who doesn't, but to the extent anything rings true or home, I know that there are people, directors that listen, and I get questions sometimes of like ways that they can improve or like things to take into consideration. And so I'm drawing it out only because I have had it expressed of like wanting to improve, which is not common from like a leadership perspective. But if they're listening and they are wanting that input, I just think it's important. For me, it's like, go back to your audition notes. Like when so-and-so stood out and like, or the interview was really good and you wrote notes about that individual and you're like, that person is worthy of a spot on my team. Like, where did all those notes go of like, you know, what you found about their experience and background that really sold you or like kind of stood out as super impressive? Like, I feel like those notes somehow get buried. And once you're in the season, it's like they forget why the hell they chose you in the first place. And then.
Yeah. And I also feel that there should be more like mid-season evaluations, or even like, I've told them this, like, I don't want my end of the year to be like about someone else. Tell me how I did. Like, I feel like there's some coaches that don't want to validate you because they want you to keep like pushing and working hard. But like, tell me how I did. Tell me what I did wrong. Like, talk to me. We're all human. We all are adults in this space. Just have a real conversation. I don't want to have a conversation like, oh, who do you think is the best dancer? Oh, who do you think should be captain? Like, what? Tell me how I did this season so I can improve. Don't ask me who I think the best answer is, because that's not relevant right now. So
if I want to answer that it's me, like I think I'm the best, like how do you not sound like it's the all about me program? But like I would absolutely expect individual feedback, not talking about team dynamics as much, in a self-assessment type review type scenario where I can learn how I can improve, and feedback that's specific to me as an individual.
And I feel like coaches should know their dancers, and like, you know, you have your 9-to-5ers and you know, you have your dancers that want to go professional. So what are you doing as a director to help those dancers that want to be a professional? And like, what are you doing for those 9-to-5ers that, you know, are doing this for fun? So like knowing who's on your team, knowing what goals people have, kind of helping them through that too.
I mean, that would be super ideal if the scope for the directors and understanding like what their role is as a coach, because I think it is maybe different from like a college coach where there's a lot more maybe development focus of your dancers and thinking of their opportunities and what's next for them after school and whatnot. I don't know that directors have that same lens because you're at the pro level. Everybody's supposed to know what they're there for. It is a job. It's blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, you know, if you think about the added benefit or the value that the directors can bring to their organization, it would be from cultivating those dancers and their careers and their goals, knowing them well enough to know how that can also benefit the organization. Like if you know the different passions and interests or community service that your dancers are involved in, causes that they believe in, you'll have a better sense of how you can utilize them throughout the season to make your organization look good for no other reason. Like I have no idea why there would be any kind of rule around not highlighting rookies as part of your social media efforts. Like what, who gives a damn? And like, if you're looking at what stood out from their resume, from auditions and the different things that they're involved with, those are all things to highlight. And that's what I was kind of leaning more towards when people have this, it's like a purposeful, I don't want to read intent into it, but it almost seems like it's a decision that they're making. I'm not going to highlight you, or I'm not going to acknowledge you. And that is the part that I can't quite get down with because it doesn't make sense to me. Because it's not like you don't know, it's just like, I'm not going to highlight it. And that is probably where it seems like it would be more personal. And I don't want to say like, well, this is what your issue is or problem is, but I think it is something that's worth digging a little deeper to understand what you're relying on to make those types of decisions about people that you have decided were good enough to make your team. How do you ditch that decision-making process during the season?
Yeah.
I don't get that part. I don't get that part, but maybe it's just a reflection, like you said, of familiarity. If you don't know your team well enough, if you don't make that effort to get to know your team through orientation or whatever it might be, where you can really say, I have a good sense of who these people are and I know their strengths or weaknesses, or I'm getting a sense for that based on the way that I conduct practices, the feedback that I'm getting from them in our mid-season evaluation, you know, where I'm telling them what I think that they can work on and they're telling me what they think, you know, like there's, if there's different touch points to communicate with people, then you will, you'll get to know. It's a relationship, you know?
And like, I'm very honest and she appreciates my honesty. And this is why, like, I just decided to like, cause we did have like the option to have like an end of the year, like evaluation if we're not coming back. But I'm like, I'm just going to end on a good note. I mean, the team is not going to really change is if I give you a full list of like 4 pages of things that happened this season, or if I gave you just one thing, that whole list isn't going to change. So I'm just going to end on a good note. I'm just going to peace out, you know, still help out when needed, just like.
When you're making those decisions of like sharing feedback, if it even benefits you or benefits the organization at the end of the day, we all go through that with leaving jobs. Like, it's like, do you participate in the exit interview and really like tell it like it is? Or do you just, you know what? Nothing's really going to change. I'm going to just.
I still love y'all. I'm still going to help you, but you just need to know everything that's going on up here.
No.
I did try, and I gave her a whole list my second year, and we had this year, and you know.
Okay. Enough to know whether what, you know, the right step is after that. So how do you approach feedback with Next Level Prep? You do have people coming in at various levels. I'm sure your program involves a lot of work outside of the program where people have to kind of show improve and work on the things that you're telling them they need to work on. How do you handle feedback with your customers?
So I try to be as honest as possible, but it does get to a place of like, I kind of have to get a little bit more comfortable with you because I just can't be like, your hair, the way you're doing it right now, you don't look good. Like, I can't be like so cold with it, but I have to be like a little bit nicer with the approach, because if I was like a cold telling you how it is, like no one, everyone would be like, I don't think.
I don't want to give this person my money.
But like the more comfortable, the more, you know, and then sometimes I ask them like, do you really want the full like truth, or do you just like want me to give you feedback? You know, so there are like, you have to kind of feel out like kind of what people need in that moment. And then just like my roommate currently, like she's on my training program, and like because we're so close, I'm telling her like this, you got to do this or you're not going to make it this year. But like there are people where I'm like, okay, maybe you should do this and like that. Like there's different ways I talk to different people, which
yeah. No, and I think that's a skill set of just understanding receptivity, right? And knowing what people truly intend to hear and how they'll receive it, and just knowing what would be the most effective way to reach them to give them the information that they need in a manner in which they will receive it.
There are some people that I literally have to hold their hand through audition process. Like I have this girl in one hand, this guy in one hand, somebody holding my back pocket, someone in this back pocket, and then like 10 other people in my program. So I'm just like, come on.
Yeah, no, I mean, that has to be, you're only one person. I mean, in the way that you manage Next Level Prep, is it that you kind of are sitting at the helm of it and you have the different like teachers in terms of choreography? Like, how much are you personally managing, or is it some of it's been delegated to the other people that are part of your team? Because again, it's probably that same issue of trust and, you know, letting people kind of continue and further your purpose. Or do you keep a lot of that to maintain the way that you want to run the program? How do you manage it?
So I let the directors of each like different city kind of run it how they, because they know that area of their teams. They've either been on that team in that city and kind of know like how to approach it. So I kind of trust them in those areas to run the program how it is. And then like I run my program, you know, how I want to run it. So it's all, we all have the same like outline, but the way we go through the outline may be different through our experiences.
I see. That makes sense. Yeah. So you are practicing what you preach in terms of like, you build a team, you trust your team, you guys are on the same page, you have like a blueprint. Mm-hmm. But
meetings, you discuss things and all catch up, kind of see like, okay, this is what we did in this program, this is the feedback we got, so maybe we should keep doing this or maybe we should change this. So having like that discussion to keep things growing and moving forward.
Growth, because otherwise if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, just taking on the challenging feedback, I mean, you can get it and it can sit over there and you can do nothing with it ever. Thanks for sharing. But I just like hearing how you take it into account, you know, you evaluate, and then as you're growing your business, just bring in the right people who can help continue to grow Next Level Prep. And you're helping people. I remember when I did my, like, give me some feedback on audition prep companies and programs, and there were so many wonderful things that came in. I did read a lot of them, so maybe you did get it that way, but I just thought it was overwhelmingly like positive feedback that you're helping so many people, Jasmine. And again, like I said, I just appreciate everything you're doing because you're helping people just reach that goal that they have. Even if that light turned on later in their lives, just like, I have something that can help me step by step get to where I'm going. And it's not like you have to be pretty much already making finals and I'm going to give you a little extra zhuzh to kind of make a team. This is taking all levels and just having fun at the same time. I mean,
The community and like having fun and not making it like so like, I don't want it to be stressful, but we're still prepping, but we're still a family. Like it's more of a welcoming environment. And I've asked people like, so how did you feel during your first class? Or like, what is the vibe that we give off, like through the website or through Instagram, and kind of like asking people how their experience is. So I can like be like, okay, I'm doing what I really, my goal and my mission of this is, because if it wasn't coming off in a good way, then I would definitely have to sit back and like, we're not doing any programs until I figure it out.
No, that's good though, Jasmine, because that's your name, that's your brand, that's your baby. And you had a purpose and goal in mind in establishing this and having it serve a different purpose from other audition prep programs, but you knew what you were hoping to bring to the table that was different from what was out there. So having that sense of being willing to look internally at introspection and be like, okay, well, if we're off and we're not delivering what I'm hoping for, I'm going to reevaluate. I think that's the kind of growth, and that's what excites me about seeing things like this grow, is because you know it's so well-intentioned. I love that you had like the pro prep program just for male dancers. Like I was like hitting my bed. I remember when I saw that, like, just how did that go, by the way?
I feel like that was very like premature, because there were, as many male dancers at the time wanting to just put themselves out there, because there are male dancers that are like secretly training and then they show up at auditions, but they're not going to come to class and they're not going to put themselves out there sometimes for that training, but they'll come to the audition, but they're not coming to class. So people are like, where did all these guys come from? And like, but they're not training during the year, which, yeah, it was just like, I'm trying to do this for you. Where are you?
Right. I would have thought that that would have been very, very well. I wouldn't even say attended. I just, maybe there's just so much. I mean, I'm trying to put myself in their shoes. Like, they do have to arm themselves with, like, this is going to be probably a very controversial decision to even put myself out there in that way. But you are joining a part of a community, and we all do the same things. We train, we do class, we, you know, and it's not that you have to like blast it all on social media, but it is part of the process of developing as a dancer for this space. So it's interesting if there are male dancers just deciding to kind of like hole off in a corner and do it all themselves outside of that. I mean, you're missing out on being even more part of the community. And it might even just fortify their position once they are going through the steps in the process, because you've already been part of the community. You have a more of a support system. You have people to help you keep you accountable and working towards your goals. So that's interesting. Well, still, I hope you still do it. I
mean, directed, you know, and just did something like, we just changed name and just kept going. I was like, I called Chabri and I was like, I need your help because I want to do this male thing, but there's no male. So I need you to come and teach because I have a full staff of men and I just now need to change it.
Make it more where it's open for everybody kind of thing.
Yeah, so I like added her and I added myself and just changed it to like the ultimate pro workshop. So like sometimes as a business owner, you also have to redirect and kind of just keep pushing, because at times, sometimes you can't give up because sometimes you have put so much money into it and sometimes you do lose money, and that's why a lot of sometimes programs don't work out, and sometimes they just realize maybe this isn't the lifestyle that I'm meant for, but like I'm still gonna keep pushing no matter what. I'm still gonna help people train, and
well, okay, so my last probably not the last question, but like
we're gonna have like a 3-hour podcast
and I will just edit it and it'll just it is what it is. No, but one of the topics that came up a lot and people are still kind of frustrated as hell about are just kind of like all of the tricks and the change in dance style with auditions as of late, both for NFL NBA, where a lot of emphasis is placed on trickery. We'll just call it, that's my new name for it. How do you approach that in terms of teaching those types of skills? Because I was just thinking the way that I would have flipped, not that all of your male choreographers that you had lined up for that, but it's almost like this expectation that female dancers are supposed to bring a lot of help, masculine energy in this hip hop style delivery that, I mean, maybe learning from a male choreographer will help you, you know, channel that shit that I would struggle with. I'm prissy and I'm sassy and that's the way I want to say. But like, can you talk to like how your program is kind of embraced or taking into account some of the changes in style of dance and expectations for auditions? Because I know people are struggling.
Every program, again, is different. But I know like in the Atlanta area, I require them to take classes like throughout the week or throughout the month from different like teachers and instructors, because the purpose, I want you to become a versatile dancer. I don't want you to just like be a jazz dancer or a hip hop dancer, because you have to be able to do it all and not just like you get to the team and you're just another number. But like you want to be able to, like if they're doing a jazz dance, you'll be in that jazz dance. If you're doing a hip hop dance, you'll. So I want people to be as versatile as possible. So I encourage them to take classes. I send them different workshops that are coming to the area that they should go to. I bring in those instructors. We do spend time on those hip hop tricks and all of that. So it's just like, again, we can only do so much in like 4 weeks or 6 weeks. Right. So why tell them you have to take class outside of this, and you have to take classes that you're uncomfortable in? Because even when I was growing up, I wasn't comfortable in ballet, but I knew I liked jazz, but I had to go to that ballet class because it did help me with becoming versatile and just being uncomfortable in that.
Yeah. And maybe that's just part of the growth for our space now, is like accepting that ugly truth. Like, yeah, you're going to have to get a little uncomfortable, a little down and dirty, grimy, doing some stuff that you probably can't relate to or were not trained in, picking up some things that are outside of your comfort zone because you're being pushed in that direction to be a marketable dancer to make these teams. And this right now is what they are looking at. And, you know, it doesn't have to be your favorite move in the world, but you may want to just freaking pick it up and learn it. Right. I mean,
like me and head springs, I'm like, every time we're like doing a dance and it's like, one time it was like every other person had to do a head spring. And I'm like in the room, like counting. I'm like, oh, I got to do the heads. Like I can do it when I have to do it, but do I want to do it? No. But you know, you got to do what you got to do because you're a part of a team that requires it. So, you know, you got to make sure you keep maintaining or you do that research and figure out what team does not do hip hop tricks for teams that are more jazzy, or if you are able to move, what city is going to be a right fit for you? And if you can't move, you better get with it and like take the classes or talk to someone who's on a team. And people always ask me like, how do I reach out to people on teams? But it's like, I always look at people who actually like teach dance classes that are on current teams because teachers are always willing to teach. But if just a regular girl who's just like, I'm here to dance, they're just gonna, you know, be like, oh, I don't know. But like if it's an actual like teacher that teaches weekly or teaches master classes, they'll be more likely to give you advice and help you out.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. Because social media does connect us all. And you hear that word research, research, research all the time. But like there's levels to it. And I think, like you said, if you're thinking of people who have the teaching background, they're accustomed to teaching. And I think teaching is like almost a lost art sometimes. People call themselves teachers because they're choreographers, but they're not necessarily teachers. They maybe choreography is their thing and they teach choreography, but not necessarily teaching you how you can whatever gain some skills. Yeah. Seriously. Anything that I left out? I mean, you know, I can talk to you forever, but I just appreciate what is the legacy that you want to leave behind now that you are retired? Like, what do you want to be remembered for as a performer? Let's just leave that because we know Next Level Prep's living on and on and on and on. But as a performer, what did you bring that you hope will always be remembered so that you're not unappreciated? Because
I'm going to struggle saying this word. Perseverance, is that the word?
That's the word.
Perseverance and just like, you know, just if you have a goal, if you have a dream, just like letting it show and shine and like just like still being a light even in the darkness and just like being positive no matter what and just like putting your best out there. And that's what I felt like I've always done.
Yeah. I mean, in perseverance, I think it's a word that I think just, it almost glosses over so much like gritty, I won't say darkness, but perseverance means a lot. So, I mean, to have that as a quality where you are going through some really crappy, tough shit and can still find a way to get back to that space of positivity. And that process to me is perseverance. It's not that you just keep showing up. It's that you kind of sit in the dirty and the ugly for a minute, you figure out how you're going to pull yourself up out of it. And I just think if we had like, you know, 5 hours, we'd be getting into the, you know, the nitty gritty of it all. But I think, you know, one of the posts that you shared that really just kind of captured your journey in pro cheer and just, you know, the different no's and the pictures that you shared, I just thought it was really coming from a space that I can definitely relate to. You know, my rookie year or the first day I showed up for auditions for the NFL and what I look like, how I danced, what I thought my strengths were, you know, all the things that I know I had to work on and just showing up every year, trying to improve upon that last version of myself. That's perseverance. And I think, you know, it's a word that sums up a lot, but I think just that progression, that post that you shared really, really illustrated that very well. So there's so many comments of people just like, wow, and blown away. So I thank you for sharing your story here.
And I feel like I'm always going to share my story and like new people who come across my page all the time. So like, even if it gets to the bottom, maybe I'll create another post that's kind of similar. So that way, like, you know, people still have that hope and like, you know, it's, even though you hear that no, it doesn't mean it's no forever. It's just like that right now. Or like you got to reevaluate how you did look in that first audition and keep growing every single time and not just continue to be the same.
Yeah, that's the main thing I would say. I know everybody's coming out of auditions and it may not have worked out, but if you can at least just look at yourself and evaluate what you think you can improve upon year to year. If nothing else, you're just becoming a better dancer. You're putting yourself out there to learn. You're connecting with people. You're meeting different choreographers. You're understanding that there's other things beyond pro dance as well that you can actually be out there working commercially as well, just to kind of continue to improve. And all those experiences will show up in your performance style, your appearance, all of those things. And so keep at it and find the right program that fits you. And I mean, I hope people learn enough about Next Level Prep today and just about the journey, some of the like the down, not say downsides, but like once you're on a team, you think you've made it.
Yeah.
And everything's going to be peaches and roses. And there's just certain, there's a reality. And so many people, like I said, wrote into about that. So I'm glad that you wanted to touch on just that feeling of being underappreciated and how to manage that and to know your worth and to know when it might be better for you to move on to better things. Walk away with your head held high. And like you said, no negativity associated with it at all. It's just like understanding that it is better overall to be somewhere where you're valued. And that's just the bottom line. Okay, so because you are retired, audition season is here for NVA. I mean, are you going to consider any of the commercial dance opportunities that you are speaking of?
So I'm going to get and keep dancing. Cause like, I also tell people once you get on a team, you're not dancing for yourself anymore. You're dancing for that team. So just like trying to dance for myself again and kind of find that passion again. I'm going to dance for myself. And then I'm going to, you know, have a year off and kind of figure out where that takes me. I definitely want to choreograph more, definitely want to teach more, and then maybe NFL one day because I am still young.
Yes, Jasmine. I didn't know if you even wanted to. I definitely second that.
Mm-hmm. So it's not the end. It's just the beginning. So.
Okay.
And maybe a year break and maybe a 2 year break. But yeah, we'll see.
Okay, I love the idea of you continuing to perform. That's all I wanted to hear. And NFL is something different. It would be, you know, the right place to be outside and all the elements and doing it. But I would love to see you on an NFL team.
Yeah, I got to lose my NBA thick and then we'll get into the NFL
thing. Oh my gosh. No, that's super exciting. And we probably didn't even touch on it, Jasmine. Sorry about that. You have a whole choreography page and you work with college teams. Like, did you want to touch on any of that?
So I also choreograph because I teach weekly. So it gets to a point after you teach weekly for 4 or 5 years, and like, I want to see my stuff on other teams and other people. Yes, I still love seeing it on my students, but now I'm starting to get to a place where like, I want to see my choreography on the team. So I have started to reach out to different teams and choreograph for like my old college and like different colleges and things like that. So the goal is of course to choreograph for pro teams too. And just continuing to work with college, and even if there's like a senior team, you know, just like anyone that wants some choreography from me, you know, I'm here.
No, that's great. Cause I know that every year you seem to go down to Florida for all of the championships and whatnot. And is that to support your alma mater or do you?
Yeah, so I go to support and hopefully I will. If any team out there needs a choreographer, I want to choreograph for a team this year, like a game day or something.
Okay. No, that's exciting. And I apologize. I didn't bring that.
No, you're fine. So much I want to do. And it's just
Well, I mean, I hope we featured all of it in this episode. I'll link to everything, Next Level Prep. I'll link to the your choreography page on Instagram as well. And any other things you want to share, it'll all be in the episode notes so that people can kind of see, especially all the different locations. Yes, keep me in the loop of all the things that you're working on that I can promote, etc. Like, I'm always here. Thank you for all of your support.
Of course.
Over the years, Jasmine.
You don't want you to end. I'm like, why? Everyone's telling you it's not over.
always inspired by watching everybody in this space who's like done so many millions of things. Like maybe I had the energy for it, you know, decades ago where I could have done like six different things and done them all super well, but trying to figure out how I can channel my energy and be able, because I've never just been this like not all over the place, but just not able to like give it more of myself. Yeah, like things have just kind of fallen away and I just don't have any fingers left to try to grab things. And I don't want to like just be ending on a, you know, hanging on by a thread. So I was like, maybe I just need to give myself more time away from it to actually get my ducks in a row, because every season break has not been enough time to refocus, do things better, differently, blah, blah, blah. All the ideas that I've had over the years, it just never got executed. And so I have an intern, believe it or not, at the end of the freaking podcast. But
if you need another co-host, I'm free.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, ideally, Jasmine, it would be great to have the podcast live on minus me and running my mouth every week. Just as a way for people to stay current, talk about things. You know, I'm feeling more and more removed from, I'm watching it, but not like living it anymore in a way where I just think it's just good to evolve. And so I'm trying to think about possibilities in that department. I'll keep you in mind, because if I could just produce and do some stuff behind the scenes and allow it to live on, always with a fresh perspective, well-respected people who people would want to listen to besides my mouth, that would be nice. Because then I would want to keep it going, you know? I'm trying to work on some things of how the podcast can live on, but I knew I could not end with me as a host without having you. And I'm glad that you're retired and can talk. And, you know,
about time. It's
all about time. Oh my gosh. Have a good one, Jasmine. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. You can follow your favorite podcast on social media at Pro Cheerleading Podcast on Instagram, at Pro Cheer Podcast on Twitter. We're on Facebook, on YouTube, and you can support your favorite podcast on Patreon. Until next time, keep your eyes on the sidelines.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.